The following program contains adult situations. Discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
And we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
Mace.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn at the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Omega.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere, leave you for dead.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
And I'm the Jew in jujitsu.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Joe.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR. Sunday night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't you dig that? Sucker!
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It has been a big week in the world of wrestling. We've had a brand new World Heavyweight Champion crowned on Raw, a brand new NXT TakeOver event. We've had the beginnings of the Slammy Awards this year, and nobody cares because Star Wars!
What's a Star Wars?
It's a war in the stars, Rock.
Oh, wow.
I know. People get it confused with a Trek. It's not the same thing.
True.
We'll try desperately not to spoil it for you. I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes. Ho, ho, ho. Where's the Godfather? Because Pimpin' ain't easy. It's his favorite time of year. Holes everywhere.
You'd think it'd be Valentine's Day.
You'd think, but that's just where he makes a lot of his money.
Yeah, well.
Oh my gosh, Star Wars!
Dude,
I am a happy little nerd right now.
Dude, I can't believe Chewbacca, when you shave Chewbacca, it's actually three Jawas standing on each other's shoulders. I didn't know.
Yeah, I never would have thought of that either. And who knew? Jar Jar was actually in this one.
Yeah!
He just got blown up. J.J. Abrams, big steel balls, I tell you what.
And, of course, the one that's more Trek than Wars of our group, the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, bugger off. I'm just as warsy as I am Trekkie.
Oh, you go both ways.
Why do I open the door?
Oh, speaking of your Star Trek at Star Wars, did anyone catch this week's Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
Yes, goddammit.
Will oh my Wheaton God! Wins. Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton wins.
Yeah, but you know that was a controlled environment because if he actually had done that to a Star Wars premiere, he would have got the shit kicked out of him.
Well, yeah, it's a TV show. I vote they make Will Wheaton a regular character on Big Bang Theory.
No.
Yes.
No.
Everything he does on that show is gold, and I want more.
Will's good in a lot of things these days, but he's best in bursts. I judging from the other things I've seen him in and some of the online stuff he does, I think it's better to take him in doses rather than getting it constantly.
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of the stuff he does online. I'm just a big fan of the stuff that they got him doing on Big Bang Theory. Oh, and I like trolling him during hockey games, especially the playoffs, because he's a huge Los Angeles Kings fan.
I was getting into that sports thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard sports. Hockey talk and my brain just went numb.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition. WTR Sunday night, sort of a lackadaisical edition, I suppose. I don't know, maybe not. The last one we do before the big fat dude in the red suit comes. That's right, Mick Foley's on his way.
Jeez, I thought it was modern-day Kane.
Well, no, Mick Foley at Christmas time.
Yes, yes, he gets really weird and starts dressing up as Santa.
Yes, yes.
And breaks out every bat sweater he has.
Every other day of the year, it's Kane, but not for Christmas. So
not for Christmas. Yeah. No, no. Well, he was the Christmas creature at one time in his career.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he'd love to tell you about if you asked him.
Now, you guys were yabbering about Star Wars right off the top of the hop here. I just want to say this right now. No spoilers. If anybody has seen it, shut the fuck up. That's all I'm going to tell you. And this is for the benefit of everybody in the chat room or who might be tuned in, listening when they're out and about or listening to the archive, who hasn't seen the movie yet. We don't want it spoiled.
So you don't want to hear about the Ewok Rebellion.
So
canonized the Ewok movie. It was weird.
Yeah, so just one question.
And who knew C-3PO could do kung fu like that?
Yeah, just one question, Mace. Have you seen it? No, legitimately, have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you took your kid brother?
I did. Took my little brother to go and see it as his Christmas gift, and he enjoyed it.
Okay, and did you like that part where that thing happened?
We both had a good giggle during quite a few bits of the movie, yes.
Omega, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
What was that?
What?
I got a weird feedback in my ear all of a sudden.
Oh. Yeah, no. I'm using my headset this week instead of my that microphone that I bought. And,
okay, because it sounded like the Wyatts broke in for a minute.
Yeah, it was like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a loose wire, but I've tightened it back up again. But, yeah, no, did you see the movie or no?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Oh, okay.
Cool. I took Mace's little brother.
Oh, what did you think about that one part where that thing happened?
I thought it was overrated, but the rest of it was really good.
Oh, okay. Just that one part was overrated. The rest of it was awesome. So there's a review of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Thank you very much for tuning in for that. And all I can say is go Seahawks.
Yeah. Sorry, Chase.
Yeah, so
he was bitching so much on Twitter about it. I had to poke the bear. I had to.
Yeah, well, let's see. The Seahawks eliminated, what, four teams with their win today?
Pretty much, but
yeah.
Hey, you know, a couple of weeks ago, people were writing off the Seahawks, oh, they won't make the playoffs or anything like that. But guess what? We're in, bitches!
All right, yeah. And Green Bay doesn't suck so much. Nobody likes Green Bay.
They haven't been that bad this year. They just sort of fly under everybody's radar.
That's usually, you know, that's the team that you got to worry about. But as we get closer, of course, to Super Bowl, we'll talk a little bit more football on the time killing portion of the webcast.
Yeah, which means I need to stock up on Lego.
Yep.
I believe that there is actually, well, depending on how things go, there usually is a broadcast of WTR Sunday night on the Super Bowl Sunday, unless, as per usual, I'm out drunk.
Well, you know, every now and then we have taken it off. Depends on the start time. It's a little bit variable, so. And it depends on who's playing. If it's two teams I don't care about, yeah, let's do a webcast. Okay, I don't know what that is, but we shouldn't hear too much from the producer because the Eagles are currently playing right now. Who are the Eagles playing right now, anyway?
The Cardinals.
Oh, go Cards.
And fuck you.
Oh, Bird Team.
Go Bird Team. Score the way you score when you get your points.
Make the home run and get a goal.
Yeah, two different sports completely, but that's okay. We're giving you points for trying, Mega.
Hey!
What? You got points for trying?
Yay! Yeah.
Oh, you said yay. I thought you went, hey. No.
No, he got points for trying, which means he's already doing better than the Eagles.
Bottom bum ching.
Oh, shit. We need a we need a rim shot for that one.
Yeah, it's not coming.
Eagles. Eagles. No rim shot.
No, we won't get a rim shot from the producer because, of course, you know, he's a huge Eagles fan. I don't know why. But, hey, it could be worse. He could be cheering for the Cowboys.
This is true.
Not even Cowboys fans cheer for the Cowboys at this stage.
Unless your name is Grant.
No, no. I've been talking with a former friend of ours, Mr. Adam Martin, who is a very devout Cowboys fan, and even he's like, nah, fuck it.
Ah, well, way to stick with your team through thick and thin, I guess. I don't know.
Eventually, you just got to give up and go, well, that was our season. Bring on next year.
Yeah. Welcome to being a Cubs fan.
Yeah. So now
this year was supposed to be their year. God damn it!
Fuck that. Now,
I've mentioned my sport for my benefit, and then I've mentioned Mace's rocks and my sport for our benefit. Now it's time to mention Lego for Omega's benefit. Anything new out of Denmark?
I'm really hoping for the Doctor Who Lego set for Christmas.
Okay, see, I knew something was going on. Doctor Who Lego that's already available, is it?
That is already available. People have it in hand. And next year, they're doing the entire Ghostbuster Firehouse for the grand total of $350.
You are not supposed to even think about that till next year.
I'm thinking about it.
Stop it!
God, if that's $350 American, that's going to be somewhere close to about $600 Australian. I better start saving.
Yeah, you better save up because you're going to need to.
Well, the most expensive Star Wars set I have ever seen was $850, and that was the Death Star set.
Wow! Yeah, that runs you $400 here in the U.S.
Yeah, we get screwed.
That's ridiculous.
I saw the box for that, man. I could move with that box.
Just incredible. So, are you guys ready for Friday?
I pretty much need to get through Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday first.
Yeah, you're in Monday already. I'm just making sure you're ready for the big day, you know, Christmas Day, the present opening festival.
Yeah,
yay, consumerism. Really anymore.
Yay, consumerism. Yay, capitalism.
Buy all the things and throw them out after New Year's.
Yeah, there you go.
Spend $60 on a video game for your son. He'll stop playing before 2016.
Yeah, there you go. No, I miss the days when Owen was young enough. He got all these great, neat, expensive toys, and he spent the morning playing with the boxes.
Get a cat.
Oh, the cat played with the wrapping paper. I used to have a cat, and she would go crazy with the wrapping paper until she got too old to care.
I've seen that with most cats. Like, even my cat's probably about 4 years old.
No.
And you know, we'll go out and we'll buy this expensive climbing thing for her to use, and we'll leave the box next to it, and she'll jump into the box.
Yep.
Cats are instinctively drawn to tight corridors like that because it's a safe spot. So they'll try.
Yes,
they'll
then,
try
but
to.
Then there's also the whole thing of, like, you know, you buy all these things, like all these really expensive cat toys, and you can get the exact same thing out of a shoelace
or a laser pointer.
Laser pointers are awesome when you have
My my cat doesn't really care about the laser pointer unless I put it right next to her paw. Then she'll be like, yep, okay, got it. Now what? My cat's a lazy fucking shit.
How old is your cat now? You said 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't know if you guys remember my cat, Squeak. You had her for 16 years. She basically just sort of gave in, did the lazy thing when she hit around 7 or 8, and she's like, fuck off. You know, she'd give you that look. Don't bug me. Go back.
So just like every other woman in your life, Tim.
Yeah, almost. Well, no, that's not true. And that was just a lame attempt at a cheap shot. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame.
No, it wasn't a cheap attempt. I just happened to take the shot. You left the goal wide open. I just hit the puck in.
Yeah, no, actually you hit the post. And speaking about hitting the post, shall we just start talking wrestling now? We've been avoiding it long enough.
I don't want to.
Well, you know, there are some people who are listening that really don't know what happened this past week, and it's our duty. I'd say job, but we're not getting paid for this. It's our duty to inform them that Roman Reigns is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Thud. They wind up putting the title on him on Raw, you know, given the title match on free TV the night after a pay-per-view where he didn't win the title. Was this, like, just generally speaking, was this a good thing to do?
This was a please give us ratings thing to do.
You think?
That was the entire show. Was here, we're going to throw out every big gun idea that we have to try and pop a rating. Please watch our show.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's the thing. They brought Vince McMahon back.
Yeah.
To pop rating, and then they give the belt to Roman Reigns 24 hours removed from a pay per view where he got screwed out of the title. Mm-hmm. That was designed for ratings.
Yeah. Speaking of ratings, it worked because ratings were up last week. As a matter of fact, they started strong. They dipped, and then it came back for the final segment, which was all, you know, focused around Vince and Roman Reigns and the title and Sheamus.
Once again, can we please bring Raw back to 2 hours? As has shown, hour two sees the most ratings dip in the entire week.
Well, how much trouble did WCW get into once they went to 3 hours?
Not much. Basically, their low end back in the day was that first hour.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute. Originally, it was that first hour. Then they resynced it, so they had the hour ahead of Raw, which was their high point. Then they kept it steady because they billed the second hour as the big to-watch hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then hour three was your main event, which people were going to stick around for anyway.
Depending on who was in the main event and what it was all about and stuff. I mean, here in Canada, I didn't have to worry about it because they would show Raw live on Monday nights on TSN. And then Tuesday night was WCW. And the internet wasn't such a big thing back in 1996, 97, 98, 99, into 2000. So you didn't have to worry about, you know, having the show spoiled or anything like that. But that caused a lot of fluctuation back and forth. I mean, if WCW didn't start off hot, people would tune out at the end of the first hour to catch Raw.
Yeah, except for here, where it was on Saturdays. And Raw didn't even exist, as we had the recap show version of Superstars that would be shown on, like, Thursday at midnight.
Yeah, you didn't exactly have the same thing. So that's one good thing about living right next door to the States, I guess. I don't know. Having all the American channels. So...
But that was the beginning of pay television or cable television here in Australia. So we're only just starting to get the idea of, oh, hey, we can actually start broadcasting things the same time as the U.S. Then it took, you know, nearly another decade before that even started happening.
Yeah. But that whole title win, that sort of ruined your booking. We chatted about that Monday for a couple of minutes, and it buggered up my whole thoughts and ideas on what would have been acceptable, I guess.
Yeah, I had this great little plan that would have worked as a good overall story, but sure, let's just throw that in the trash for, you know, a one-week ratings pop.
Well, it carried over to SmackDown, because SmackDown has wound up enjoying their best ratings in like 9 months or something like that.
And who cares about SmackDown?
People will watch it, I guess. I don't know.
People watch it.
If I remember to, I'll watch it. They used to do a SmackDown, what they still do with Raw here in Canada. They do a replay like an hour later. With SmackDown, they used to do that, but they don't do that anymore because the channel that they moved it to shows the hockey games. So it's all over the place on Wednesdays now. So if I remember to watch it, I can watch it a day before it airs in the States. But I never remember to watch it, and it's obviously not that big a deal to me.
Oh, I look up the spoilers, and it's like, oh, yeah, at least half of the show is just a replay of Raw. Why should I care?
Yep. You have a very valid point. You know, I remember, like, again, we're going back a decade. SmackDown was something worth watching, even before the brand split. Because it wasn't a rehash. Everything was a continuation, sure.
but it wasn't a rehash. And a lot of the times, if you missed SmackDown, you were half lost for the next week's Raw, which I suppose contributed to their ongoing ratings for SmackDown back then. But I don't know.
Are you two having fun?
Well, we're just waiting for you to chime in, you know.
It's the old 3-hour debate.
Sucks. There you go. There you go. Yeah. What do you think about everybody on the internet thinking that it was a really good episode of Raw last week, Omega?
I didn't mind it. I thought it was a decent one. I mean, we had a better hardcore match between ECW and the Wyatts than we did on the pay-per-view.
That was awesome. That really was.
That was. Poor Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, he looked like he got killed, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you could even hear him screaming, "My back, my back." Did he swear?
I didn't hear it, but you can lip read a little bit of, "Oh, fuck, my back, oh, fuck."
Mm-hmm. Well, we speculated that he got injured with that. And in case you missed it, Braun Strowman picks him up upside down and runs into the barricade from the crowd. Into the barricade around where the ring bell and the timekeeper are. And Mace, you and I talked about it on Skype during Raw. We were talking about how all people sitting at ringside were all looking over to where Tommy Dreamer was and paying more attention to him than what was going on in the ring.
Yeah, as soon as there were people recording it at ringside, and you could even see on some of the other competitors' faces that they were more interested in trying to see if Tommy Dreamer was still moving as opposed to, finishing or selling.
Yeah, well, I guess he got hurt, but the good news is he wasn't injured. He sent out a tweet after Raw. Sure as fuck, bruised up bad, but I had one hell of a match. Thanks, everyone, for your concern. I'm okay, and you guys got a great Raw in Philly. I love you. We got a great ECW match in Philly, that's for sure.
I mean, if we want to compare it to how Raw has been lately, yes, it was a good Raw.
Yeah. I won't disagree with you on that one. It was entertaining. But again, it's back to the 3-hour argument that puts you to sleep, Omega. It just dragged out too much in too many places.
Yeah.
Mind you, thank you, Vince. Because you stopped that absolutely 5-star classic that was R-Truth versus Blob Dallas.
Yeah.
How bad do you feel? It's like, no, you're the match that's going to go on. And the only thing you have to do during the match is when the limo comes on screen, stop wrestling and go, "Ooh, Vince." So everyone can pay attention and then continue wrestling until Vince kicks your ass out of the ring.
Well, when you're a wrestler, if that's what you're scripted to do, then that's what you do, and you get your payday, and you don't worry about it too much.
I know, but how long has it been since you saw Bo Dallas on Raw?
Given the shape he was in, I could have stood for a lot longer without him being on Raw. Dude's starting to look more like Bray than anything else right now.
The flab is getting flabbier on that boy.
Well, maybe there's a reason why I started calling him Blob Dallas.
Yep.
Maybe, getting into his brother's physique is the only way he's going to get over at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I have to grow into a Wyatt now.
Well, do you think that we'll ever see him disappear long enough to grow a big-ass beard and a huge gut to join the Wyatt family and they'll actually put the brothers together in a faction?
If we could put the fucking breaks on this whole inspirational bullshit gimmick that never fucking works when anyone ever does it.
Mm-hmm.
DDP couldn't get the motivational gimmick over.
He came the closest.
Came the closest.
Which is freaking ironic given what he does now.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
No, but you could have a hell of a feud of, hey, we chose to be family. You are my family. Come to the dark side, Luke. We have cookies.
There you go.
And Bo Dallas standing there and go, "I've had plenty of cookies. Look, you'd have a good feud of this adopted family versus the real family."
Mm-hmm.
You get don't know. Do you drag him out as IRS or not? But but you've got a wrestling family you can use here. Mm-hmm. Get a little bit of like actual story going.
Just kill the entire inspiration gimmick completely because it's just dumb.
Yeah. That's a gimmick of someone you never want getting past the mid-card.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here trying to think of, like, what type of promo would it be if IRS comes out to do something about the Wyatts? Would it be that they just haven't filed their tax exemption for being a religion or something?
Look, cults are not organized religions, according to U.S. tax laws.
You must pay your taxes, Bray. You're a cult. I could almost see that play out. Almost.
Oh, good God. And Jeez. The thing is, now that we've said it, watch it happen.
Cheesy as shit. Why not? Bring IR, you know, bring Shyster out. What the hell? So, that'd be interesting.
Oh! So, before we all start falling asleep for the good reason of, you know, what do we think of our new WWE Heavyweight Champion?
They pretty much mostly accomplished what they wanted because the Philly crowd was more positive than negative this time out than they were during the Royal Rumble when he won that.
That's what happens when you find the only person on the roster that would make a worse World Heavyweight Champion than Roman Reigns.
Evil. Just evil. I'd rather watch AJ Styles have a run at NXT. Wouldn't you?
I would.
That depends. Do you have enough neck collars around?
Oh, cheap shot. He's only injured, what, 3 people?
Well, then again,
poor Yoshitatsu.
You know, they could always, because WWE does own most of past WCW stuff. I'm sure they've got a blue jumpsuit for him in there somewhere.
Ooh. Well, Styles says
they wouldn't give it to him because AJ still owns it.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I actually asked him about that. When I got a chance to meet AJ Styles, I asked him about the old air raid gimmick, and he's like, yeah, I still have the jumpsuit.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
Probably met him about 2 years ago. Okay. He was still wrestling for TNA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had only just done the name change over to Impact Wrestling.
So I remember interviewing him back when his wife was like 30,000 months pregnant. She was like past her due date or something like that. It was a while ago because this was their first kid. And instead of talking about, working TNA and wrestling and stuff like that, he wanted to go on about what the doctors told him and his wife to do to induce labor. Yeah, I don't know if you guys ever heard that episode or not, way back in the olden days.
Well, quite possibly. We did hang around the chat room during that era.
Yeah. No, but it was kind of funny, sort of, because here he is talking with Dr. William Maybrick, one or two people might remember that name from the past, about a whole bunch of stuff to try to induce labor.
Hey, if somebody wants to talk something else, you let them talk. You know, the amount of times I've sat there and heard Spug and Steve Corino talk baseball. I sat here and I talked Resident Evil movies and games with Jessica Havoc. So.
Oh yeah. No, we you know, that's one good thing about us. Whenever you get an interview on the Wild Talk Radio Network, it's not like every other website out there doing a webcast.
I still talk comic books with Christopher Daniels every now and again.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's not a problem at all. But yeah, so whenever we broadcast that we're going to interview somebody, make sure you tune in. Doesn't matter what program it is, because it's you're going to hear some basic standard questions, but it always goes into left field, which makes it more fun because you get the wrestler animated, and they'll just go on forever because it's a passion, you know, something that's their passion and not their paycheck.
Very true. And you just got to be careful whenever you interview Trish Stratus with Omega around, because it's just
yeah, we might have to wait until he's got an unavoidable appointment before we try to book an interview with Trish. How upset would you be if we do that?
That was fine.
Well, yeah, after how long?
And remember, I've still got the raw recording of that interview.
Admit it, you drooled at least once or twice.
I never thought Omega could squee that high.
He was sounding like Lindsay talking about Kane, huh? Or the Wyatts.
No, it was a literal squee at the end after she hung up.
He actually said squee. Oh, my God.
It was more of a...
Okay, that counts as a squee going E.
Hey, I don't blame the guy.
Well, it turns out that King Barrett is hurt again. You may have seen him Sunday night.
I don't have any opinion about our new champion.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What's your opinion of the new champion? God damn it.
Bye.
Well, we started talking about everything else, and I forgot you didn't say anything yet. So what do you think about Roman Reigns holding the title?
God. Honestly, it's kind of been predestined for a while now. I'm just happy they got it over with, and all these plans and stories they've been... I get the feeling a lot of stories tanked just because they thought he'd be a champion by now. Mm-hmm. You know, they thought the audience would be receptive by now. You know, 6 months of, you know, pulling back later. Well, you kind of have to put the belt on Sheamus, of all people, and have Roman punch out Mr. McMahon in order to get a cheer. But, hey, they finally worked a way that people were happy with him. At least in the crowd were happy with him winning the belt.
Yeah.
So you know what? If all the stagnation in the last 6 months, if all these horrible episodes of Raw have mostly been, well, we thought he'd have the belt by now, and we changed the story up, but fucking crowd and their opinion.
How dare you have an opinion? Crowds. Shame on you.
Honestly, I'm actually kind of interested to see where they go now and what they actually do with him as champion, because they've been holding back on it and they've been wanting to do it for so long now. I kind of want to see, you know, a direction here that, you know, I feel like there's something, anything.
They've got to do something.
Now they've finally pulled the trigger. Like, pull the trigger. I want to see where the bullet goes.
Well, I can understand that. It's almost like a sense of relief.
Neither
positive nor negative.
Kind of. Like, I think there's a tension it relieves, just because you as a wrestling fan know, okay, that's the next good guy they want to put the belt. They want to have be the champion. They want to put the belt down. Oh, okay. Just, you know, I've wanted the Band-Aid ripped off, and instead they've been slowly pulling it off for 6 months.
Now that it's finally gone, well, let's see where it goes and see if they can do it properly or screw it up.
We'll figure out if they can actually heal it up or if it's just infected at this point.
Well, after at the end of TLC, when Triple H came out, Roman gave him a good old-fashioned beatdown. At least one of us speculated that there will be a future Triple H versus Roman Reigns match, possibly for WrestleMania. I guess this is not in the cards at this point in time anymore, is it?
Well, yeah, it's quite easily to fix it because, you know, Triple H was not at Raw because he was recovering from injuries.
In London.
Great on selling SmackDown, Triple H, by the way.
SmackDown said nobody had seen him. except in London.
Except in London.
And on the internet.
NXT. Yeah. So they can keep that that feud going. That's not going to be that hard to sort of pull it off, because, you know, Raw seems to be its own self-contained universe at this point.
Pretty much, more or
less. Literally.
So, would you guys want to see some kind of a match between both of these?
Nope.
You're not. You have no interest at all.
I have so much no interest in anything to do with Roman Reigns at this point that I'm actually going to take this next week off Raw because, well, it's the fucking Slammies anyway. Who gives a shit? And I can pretty much, you know, not bother with Raw or SmackDown until probably the week before the Rumble.
There you go. If he's going to completely skip Raw, can we make him pick the Slammies next week after everyone's won them?
No, because
how good he does.
No, because unlike Subway, I have a feeling Mace will at least have his ears open. So, what about you, Omega? What's your thought and speculation?
Hey, he threw to me
on a match between Roman and Trips.
I honestly, I wouldn't mind it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. He just spent the better, you know, Roman. Well, let's be frank. He punched the shit out of his father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He's the good guy. Roman Reigns sucker punched a 70-year-old.
And he's the good
guy. He's the hero.
Yeah. I can just hear that being the rationale behind the authority. And they're going to get booed for it.
He's winding up for a spear, and JBL's freaking out. He's a grandfather, for God's sake.
Well, didn't he say that on Monday?
Probably.
I think he might have.
Hey, props to Vince McMahon for taking the hit and the bump without actually breaking anything.
Well, absolutely.
Well, it's not like he was running to the ring or anything.
Oh,
yeah, true.
Climbing up steps, yeah. No, you know, I even said that. Props to Vince for taking that bump at 70. That's just impressive as hell. Scary, but impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the dude does not look like a 70-year-old.
Well, not really.
Not really. I mean, yeah, sure, he's in great shape, but he still works out to this day. But, yeah, no, he's obviously taking really good care of himself over the span of time. So, but yeah, anyway. I'd like to see this match. I don't want to see it as a main attraction. I don't want to see it at WrestleMania. But I'd like to see a match Triple H versus Roman Reigns. I don't know why.
Honestly, right now, the storyline would be to do it at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him a good match out of the Rumble and, you know, use the Rumble to, build a contender for crying out loud. Mm-hmm.
That would be good because as of right now, the only real potential feud they've got brewing would be Seth Rollins, but that's going to be another 9 months, really.
Got all these great feuds planned out, but they're all injured or cost $3 million to show up.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, if it happens, it happens, and I'll pay attention to it. And if it sucks, well, I won't hold anything back and admit it sucks. I know. That being said, we've been yammering for about 45 minutes here just about. I think it's time we take our first break of the evening if the producer's not too busy paying attention to football to play the background music for the commercial. There you go. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere on the other side of the break in case you missed it. NXT took over London last Wednesday afternoon. We are going to talk about it because it was good. We'll be back right after this.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get
your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
That was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a segue, plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man,
tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick...
going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making I see them too, and actually, I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see if I seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team of titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Free Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. So you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get out.
I believe he changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
Jay. I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
I'm coming. Just like, bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Before the ball drops to 2016, The Rack looks back at 2015.
Hello, John. Now, I would introduce myself, but... You know exactly who I am, don't you? And if anybody out there doesn't know who I am, well, quite frankly, those people are simply not worth my time in the first place.
Hold on one second. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to do this right. NXT champion, Kevin Owens.
We will count down the best moments in wrestling in 2015.
What does Bailey have in mind? God! Here we go, Bailey!
along with looking ahead to what is to come in 2016.
Here's your winner and the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, representing the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt!
Pop Goes the Rack, available on New Year's Eve, right here on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Rose Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I'd like to say thank you very much to PW Mania for all your wrestling news and views. Check them out, www.pwmania.com. Don't forget, the Wild Talk Radio Network streams live on the TuneIn app. You can tune in and listen to us anywhere in the world if you cannot be sitting in front of your computer or tablet or what have you while we do any of our webcasting. Just download the Twitter app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and that'd be good. Guys, NXT TakeOver London. Did you like it? Was it good?
It was good.
Were you surprised that we heard from Mace while it was on? I was. I didn't expect you to be around, big guy.
Well, as I said, I woke up during the second hour of the show.
Yeah.
At my usual wake-up time, it's just that I'm usually not on the computer at that hour of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you got to hear from me for a change.
There you go. Yeah. No, it was quite an enjoyable show. I was supposed to be at work, but I wound up being given an enforced day off. Long story on that one. Not a big deal, though. But, yeah. No, quite enjoyed it. And I'll tell you, that one diva they have, Asuka, wow. She's fun to watch.
Yeah, she is. She's got a good gimmick, great style, good look.
Mm-hmm.
Her gimmick is she punches the shit out of people.
And then smiles creepily at everyone else.
I was just thinking about that grin of hers. Sucks that she had to put Emma over so much.
To be honest, those two, Dana Brooke and Emma, are the perfect opener for Asuka in her little runaround of destruction thing that she's got going on. Yeah, because, frankly, who gives a real shit about them? And again, that's just me.
Of course, you happen to know Emma, and you've got your own opinions of her, and we don't really need to rehash that, I guess.
No, we don't.
But I do enjoy hearing you bitch about her.
Hey, look, I'll give the devil bitch her due in this one. She did actually put on a fairly solid match with Asuka.
Mm, well, yeah, but was it her putting on a solid match, or was it Asuka making her look?
No, it was her.
Okay.
It was both of them working really well together.
And of course, Asuka wins that match. She's really good working the crowd, that's for damn sure.
Well, that's what the Japanese do. They know how to work a crowd in the middle of a match and then go back to kicking the shit out of people.
Yeah. But you also had the tag, the NXT tag titles on the
line. Hey, how about Omega?
I'm sorry,
I'm going to drop off the call, so you have to face with Omega, okay?
I don't mean to. No, don't drop off the call. I don't mean to ignore you. I expect you to just chime in. So chime in.
Chime in. Yeah, Emma got the ever-living shit punched out of her, and it was kind of epic.
It was enjoyable. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else?
very, not especially, they had very, like, very different diva matches than we're typically used to from a WWE product.
Well, again, it is NXT that we're talking about. It's a whole different animal.
Well, yeah, we've known this, but man, like even in the realm of NXT, like both of the matches for the women's division were quite a bit unique, quite a bit of a different flavor, which was very good to see, because you know there are ways of getting behind a wrestler and actually having a really good match and being able to enjoy it. Other than watching them pull out every big move they have Monday Night Raw. Are you fucking listening?
Hint, hint. yeah.
If I have one little problem with this match, it's something that I've noticed that the Divas have been doing consistently in terms of spots. They've got this really weird thing where one of them will take an Irish whip or go to start running off the ropes. Their opponent will sort of run in the same direction, but as the first person's coming back off the ropes, they'll stop in the middle of the ring, their opponent will come up to them and do a move to them, and they'll take it. In this case, you know, Asuka whips Emma into the ropes, follows into the ropes with her, almost, and Emma stopped in the middle of the ring and then took an arm drag off Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
I see that, and I'm like, that looks like something a lost rookie would do. If you ever get a chance, like it happened this past week on Raw. I think it was Becky Lynch who did it this week, and then it happened again during this match. And I noticed it, and I'm like, it's a really, really bad spot because it just makes you look like you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it before, and I've seen it done in men's matches too, where the whole spot is supposed to look like it looks like they went to bounce off the ropes, the opponent followed them up, and your first wrestler is supposed to look like they're catching themselves, going, oh, they're doing something, I got to hit the brakes here, and then get caught in the move.
They look like they're thinking much.
Yeah, it's one way to do it. It just makes them sort of, they stop and go, hey, I should counter this, and then it's like, oops, too late.
Oh, well, what can you do?
Train not book that spot.
Do something different. There you go. Say, hey, Omega, the NXT tag team titles are on the line.
Yeah.
Dash Dawson versus Enzo and Cash. Cass.
Cass.
Cass, not Cash.
Yeah. Not
Cash
the kid.
Or somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody else. So I guess Enzo and Cass were the crowd favorites.
Well, of course.
You know.
Really, like, the mechanics desperately needed the win. Just because they're a fairly new team, and they kind of won the belts pretty suddenly from the Vaudevillains, who were hugely over when they beat the Vaudevillains. So they needed, you know, something to kind of cement them in place. And like poor Enzo and Cass, for as long as they've been in NXT and as over as they are with that crowd,
yep,
cannot buy an NXT title.
Just not having any luck on the circuit at all with that, are they?
Apparently not.
Well, I was just going to say they didn't have any luck in this match either, because Dash and Dawson wound up winning. So
another day. There's always next year.
Hey, who knows? Eventually, something will happen. Because eventually, everything happens.
Like Omega was saying, you know, for as popular as Enzo and Big Cass are, like the fact that they haven't had a chance with the tag titles or anything. Really is a bit of a finger of shame to NXT creative, but then again, you know, if there's anyone who's really getting closer to that, you know, next chance at the main roster deal, it's probably Big Cass.
Yeah,
because you know he's 7 foot tall, and Vince likes that.
Vince likes the big boys. Go ahead, make the jokes, kids.
The jokes. Well played.
There you go.
You like that one? Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mace. Yeah. Little Torch thumbs up.
Little Torch?
Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
I get the reference. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. A little bit too inside for some people. Anyway, the whole show, the heels were being all out heels and the baby faces being all out baby faces, and
it's like it's a wrestling show or something.
There's absolutely no confusion at all with any of the booking, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, our most open. Yeah, Finn Balor didn't go sucker punch a grandpa in the front row. Hey.
And have the crowd cheer him on.
Yeah.
You forgot that part.
Of course, some of the people in NXT are that over. You know, if Bayley just goes and, you know, just like.
Bitch slaps a woman.
Yeah, bitch slaps a woman and say, oh, she must have done something to deserve that. Yay.
It's her own fault. What'd she do? I don't know. But Bayley hit her, so it's okay.
Could you imagine if Bayley just walked out on Raw one night and just hit Stephanie McMahon in the face? You would never be able to make
her a heel. Yeah. She would never ridiculous. Stop being over.
But by the way, speaking of Stephanie and slapping, oh my God, did she lay into Roman Reigns in that opening segment?
He looked like Braveheart for the rest of the night. Half his face just fucked up.
Yeah. But anyway, back to NXT.
You have a point. I forgot about that slap. But yeah. Also
which
on the match.
Which one?
Huh? Yeah, all of them. Slap. All five of them. I think there was five. I lost count. But yeah, back to NXT. Next match that you had up was Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's a big guy.
Yes. Good observation, Tim. This is why we go to you.
I'm sorry. I just... Like this match was just one of those ones where it's like, yeah, this was a match.
I will admit I really did not pay attention to this match because, you know, fucking Baron Corbin.
Well, the entire show, this to me was the weakest presentation that they gave everybody. No taking anything away from Apollo Crews, but I didn't see anything that was captivating.
Apollo Crews can work incredible matches, but Baron Corbin cannot. There's just so much he can make. There's only so far he can pull his opponent along before it just really starts to show that this is not going to be a good performance.
Yeah,
but with Corbin, he's got the size, he's got the look. He just doesn't seem to be able to sort of have the skills, nor has he got the charisma. To go with it.
The guy's got the personality of an egg crate.
Now, that just leads to the question.
I was
going to
say a wet pool noodle, but sure, we'll go with egg crate.
That leads to the question, is he as far as he's going to go, or can he get better?
The hard part was that he cut his teeth at NXT in the Goldberg I can't be beaten gimmick, which is not going to teach him anything. For as long as he is around, he really doesn't have experience in solid matches that he should at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that regard, he's really only had half as much of experience that he should have had by now. So we're already working with a product that's behind schedule.
You know, he needs a hell of a lot of seasoning. But the question is he capable of getting it? Do you see the potential
really.
In him?
He's one of these guys. He's going to be one of these guys that's going to sit in NXT for a bit longer. Then they're going to bring him up to the main roster for a bit, give him a chance. He's going to fail horribly, and then they're just going to move him back to NXT until his contract runs out.
Mm-hmm.
I can almost – like, it would almost work in a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have one guy who's like, okay, really energetic, and almost like the Shawn Michaels Diesel way of working out, where it's like, okay, you got this one guy on the team you really, really like, and he's kind of bringing the energy to the team, but when he tags this guy in, shit's getting broken.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we've already got a team like that in NXT.
Enzo and Cass?
You were just describing Enzo and Cass.
Cass is more fun than Baron Corbin ever could be.
Oh, true, true. But the way you were describing it, it's like you got the one guy who's bringing the energy, that's Enzo. Then you got the, when he tags out to the other guy, you know shit's going to get done. That's Big Cass.
You know, when you brought up the comparison to Diesel and Shawn Michaels, whenever those two were coming out together, they always reminded me of the Looney Tunes dogs. Spike and, what was the name of the other one? Butch. Spike and Butch. Spike was the hyper little thing dancing around Butch. Butch just sat there, and once in a blue moon, he'd go and he'd slap Spike for being too energetic.
Yep.
You just every and you mentioned it, and that's exactly where my brain went to yet once again. So they gave Baron Corbin the win in his match against Apollo Crews. Why?
To me, honestly, he needed it. Like he desperately, he's been losing on takeovers for a while now. He needed some kind of major win. And I think it's better for Apollo too, so we don't have too many of these undefeated rookies running around.
Yeah, the Wyatts just showed up again. Sorry.
God, it's like an Atari having an orgasm.
But it's not in a leather case.
Oh.
Hey, come on. You knew which were the porn games on the Atari because they came in a leather-bound case.
And you had to ask for them behind the table at the store. Yeah. You laughed, Tim. Yeah. It's real.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was funny, too. So.
But also with this match between Cruz and Corbin, I'm just not seeing what everybody else sees in Cruz. Like, he's a guy that looks like he should be playing, you know, defense on any NFL football team, and he can do a flip. Good for him. Show me something else. Show me some charisma. Show me some personality. Show me something besides, oh my God, I can do a flip.
So he's kind of surely lacking in that, is he?
He's still really new to NXT. Like, he got on takeovers pretty quickly, given how brief of a time he's been there. But that's because he was such a big deal indie grab. But it's again where I don't think they've had enough time to figure out what he's going to be in NXT just yet. I think they're still feeling him out.
Well, how long has he been with the company now?
2 months, I think. Feel free to anybody either in the chat room or, you know, our usual fact checker.
Oh, fact checker's watching football, and I don't know what the score is at the moment, so I couldn't comment on that. It might be a good game. Might be boring. Although, if it was boring, I would assume that he would chime in a little bit more.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, you.
I just sat back down, so.
Well, there you go. We were just talking about how long has Apollo Crews been in NXT?
6 months. 6 months.
He debuted in August, so yeah.
That's 6 months.
4 months is not 6 months.
Okay, 4 months.
Well, there you go.
He's probably been with NXT for six.
How's your football game going, Rock?
Not well, Tim. Not well.
37-17 for the Cardinals over the Eagles, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But
thanks
okay.
to Chase but, for keeping us updated.
But it's okay. It's okay. We still have a chance to win our division.
Right. Okay.
If we win Saturday and the week after.
There you go.
Hey, think of it this way, Rock. At least the Eagles scored more than the Browns this week.
And the Cowboys.
Not combined.
Not combined. Hey, we could be Miss Columbia right now and feeling really, really bad about ourselves after being named Miss Universe, and then a minute later Steve Harvey had to say, no, I said the wrong name and the Philippines won. And they had to they took the crown off of her.
Holy Christ, I missed that.
Like Steve Harvey was trending on Twitter. It's like, did he die? No, he just screwed up royally. Yeah. It's very, very special.
Yeah, speaking about Miss Universe, holy cow, Nia Jax, all I can say is she's big.
She's big, yes.
And she's cutting a promo in the back right before her match against Bayley. Gets interrupted by Asuka with that damn grin of hers.
That death stare.
Go back to your football game.
Okay, who's got the better death stare? Asuka or Luigi?
Asuka.
Omega? I wasn't choosing you.
I'm really annoyed right now. Don't go to me.
Fair enough. Anyway, yeah. So, Nia Jax versus Bayley.
Good match. Good storytelling, too.
Big, huge crowd support in London for the champ, Bayley.
The only thing I don't get about this is why they pushed Nia Jax into this position so early.
Well, who would you put into that position? Because we can go back to Eva Marie being in that position, and no one wants her in that position.
Oh, but could you have imagined the chants and stuff that would have come out of that? That would have been so good.
there's a good reason that she was not in London for that show.
Yeah, pretty much.
We would not hear there. We would hear no noise because just would be censored the entire time.
No, they didn't really censor the British crowd that much.
Well, I don't think they were expecting it. That's why. But if Eva was there, they probably would have.
Eva Marie just gets no love, does she?
From the fans? No. She's improved. Not great, but she's improved.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of... She's a long way to go to become credible. But she's trying.
Yeah, and...
I'm trying to... Right.
just to throw this back to the actual match, seeing as we keep getting derailed from it. This was basically Bayley chopping down the mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was not a bad story to tell. Like, you know, Bayley was trying to hit her with everything, and Nia Jax is just shrugging it off, going, yeah, and what's next? Well, I'm little blowfly, be gone.
Yeah, I'm sitting here wondering, how the hell are they going to have Bayley keep the title? Everything she was doing wasn't doing nothing.
You know what? That's how you're supposed to book a monster in a division.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to look like an insurmountable task. Like, even me sitting there going, no, they can't put the belt on Nia Jax this soon. They can't take... They can't... God, it's got to be someone who's really convincingly over to take it off of Bayley, because it's going to be white-hot heat for doing it.
Right. And if you go back to the promo with Nia Jax and Asuka, they were like, here's the next match. So Nia's going to win, and Asuka's going to be the one fighting for the belt. It was a little subtle thing that they put out there. It's like, they booked this so well.
Yeah, but it was done so well, because, like, in my head, I was thinking that the whole time, and then I was honestly looking at that match and going, I don't know how Bayley wins. I genuinely did not know how that match was going to end or how she could possibly win. And that's what I should feel like when someone I really like is going up against a beast.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I was saying, Omega. You know, and you said it was like good booking. I mean, the match itself told a story properly, and sure, the smart mark is watching this thinking, well, Bayley's going to win somehow, some way, but how? And somebody who's not so, internet wrestling community type might be watching this match going, oh my God, there's no way she's
going
to win.
Going into the match, I didn't think of this, and Lindsay brought this up the night before, where it was like, what can Bayley do to Nia? She can't do the Bayley to belly. What is she going to do? And it's like, wow, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. She can't hit her move. She has no real submission other than the time she tried the bank statement during the Sasha match. She doesn't do a submission. So it's like, what can she actually do to beat the monster?
Mm-hmm.
We found out what she could do, but there was a lot of doubt.
And it was a lot of work to get up to that guillotine choke.
Yeah, because she kept fighting it off.
Mm-hmm. No, it was an epically good match. And again, here we go. Singing the praises of the NXT women and the way that they're booked in comparison to what's going on with the Divas division in WWE. And
what do you mean the Divas division? With how everyone's booked on Raw.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, I was just like singling out the women, but...
No, this is...
You've got a point, too.
But with this match, like, as Omega's already said, with so little effort... Compared to the WWE, who put in these gigantic segments, promos, build-up, everything else. And then when they do something that surprises you, you sort of sit there and go, yeah, sort of coming.
Now, who's in charge of NXT?
In terms of what?
Well, overall. Who's the big dog who's, you know, like the overseer?
Hunter oversees it.
Hunter oversees it. Who does the booking?
Ryan Wars? I think that's his name.
With the approval of Triple H. How much say does William Regal have in the booking?
Not really much, any. He's
I'm sure. Well, how much input?
He's a talent scout.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's got some input.
No, he's the talent guy.
He's the talent scout.
Yeah. And he's Jim Ross's old position.
Yeah, he's talent scout and on-air general manager, commissioner, whatever you want to call him. But that's the thing. Think about that.
The thing is, they got a guy who knows what he's doing.
Think about, you said a guy. Not 20 guys, a guy.
Uh-huh.
There's not 20 writers.
It's not a team on creative.
It's a guy who probably shares ideas with other people, but it's one guy's direction.
As the old saying goes, many cooks spoil the broth.
Ryan Katz is his name. Ryan Katz.
Ryan Katz. You know, and I've never heard of this guy before.
He apparently was a wrestler in... What the hell was it? What was that show? Wrestling Society X.
Wait a minute, I did hear that name. I have heard that name, Ryan Katz.
Wrestling Society X, he was a part of, I think, at one point.
With Teddy.
There's your obligatory Teddy Hart reference for the year?
For the year, because yeah. I think that's the first, last, and probably only time in 2015 I'll bring his name up.
It's the only time anyone's brought his name up this year.
Which is perfectly fine by me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
So we still had a main event.
We do. And I loved your description when we saw the video for Finn Balor. I don't know why, but it just didn't strike me until you mentioned it.
What did I mention? Because I forgot.
The video intro promo for Finn Balor when he came out, who did he look like?
They mixed the whole Jack the Ripper deal in with his actual entrance.
Yeah.
He still had on the monster... symbiote tentacle things underneath the gear, but to come out in the hat and the trench coat sort of plays into the whole advertising that they had going for the event.
Yeah, and
I thought it was good, because if there was one thing that Finn Balor used to do during his time on the indies was he would tailor his entrances to certain pop culture references or something like that. You know, he used to do, like, especially a lot of DC stuff. You know, he's done the Joker, he's done Bane, he's done other symbiotes, he's done, you know, a whole heap of references. This is the first time outside of the symbiote entrance that he does normally for takeovers that we see him sort of mix it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was refreshing.
And the fact that they were in London, it just got an even bigger pop.
Yes.
That was good, yeah. So I take it, Mace, Omega, the both of you watch NXT very regularly.
When I can, yeah.
Okay.
But well, I remember it's on.
I will be more than happy to admit that you guys probably watch it more than I do. Not because I don't like the product. I mean, I like when we get a chance to see the takeover and stuff like that. It's just, you know, timing and everything else that precludes my being able to watch it so much.
All that near access to the WWE network
is also a little bit restricted. But they play things on Sportsnet 360 here in Canada that are only on the network in other countries. NXT is one of them. I just can't remember whenever it's on here. So, but I guess Samoa Joe and Finn Balor were tag team.
They were tag team partners during the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Okay.
And then, you know, Joe won it title shot, and Regal said, no, you can't get title shot until you get in a battle royal. He was upset about being in a battle royal because Finn promised him a title shot if he was his partner, and why didn't he stand up for him? And then after a while, Samoa Joe just got tired of waiting and decided to take his opportunity, and that's what happened. He turned on Finn Balor after the Apollo Crews Finn Balor title match on NXT a few weeks ago, and he's been wanting the title shots ever since, and they've been brawling for a few weeks now.
And this is pretty much basically how Joe wound up getting the title shot against Finn. Just a bit of a backstory to help me along. This was a good match. This much I'll say. Very entertaining. Very, had me captivated to watch it without having to work to get me to watch it, if that makes sense.
Here's a question for you guys. Did it remind you of the good old days of Samoa Joe when he looked motivated as a pro wrestler?
Yes. Joe did look motivated. He looked motivated, about 50, 60 pounds lighter, but even that being said, it felt like a very average effort from both men.
Yeah, but this is an average effort from these two guys.
Which is stellar for a lot of other guys.
Pretty much. Their 75% is other people's 100%, so.
Or 110. So, but yeah, of course, Finn Balor wins and retains the NXT title, but not before we got an entertaining match delivered by two guys who were actually into the match, even though for them it was average.
Not only were they into it, the fans stopped, singing. Mm-hmm. They were cheering, but they stopped singing. They paid attention fully for this one.
This is Samoa Joe kid. He seems like he might be able to go far if he sticks in professional wrestling. What do you think, Omega?
Yeah, might have a future.
There you go. I figured you'd get that reference, hey? So, yeah, when is the next NXT TakeOver?
Not announced, but the next one we know of is in Dallas in April. But I think there might be one more before then, maybe. It's up in the air at this point.
I would hope that we get at least one more before April.
Maybe. No one knows yet because they're doing a lot of touring in January and February, probably in March. So I don't know if they're going to do a takeover during one of those tours. But they're going. NXT is selling out all the places.
The Dallas takeover would be the one just before WrestleMania, wouldn't it?
Yeah, WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, it's the weekend of it.
That would air on Friday. That airs will be Friday for the WrestleMania weekend because Hall of Fame Saturday.
Yeah, so I wouldn't expect them to actually put on another one before April. Aww. If they're doing one for WrestleMania, then yeah, I wouldn't expect anything else before then.
Mm. Well,
however, hopefully after then, the rumors are true. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, everything else that they're going to be doing an NXT takeover from Australia.
There you go. Yeah.
And you bet your ass I will be throwing money at my computer screen and try and get front row so I can just sit there and go, hey, Tim!
Yeah, there you go.
Off on screen,
Mace, you better
with the sign.
Mace, you better be fast because those tickets sell out.
I know I will. As soon as something gets announced, I will make sure I go and rob somebody to make sure I have the money.
Because they sold out. All the shows just about for January that are in Chicago, in Milwaukee, in Detroit, they sold. Then one of them was in like less than a minute, I think, in Chicago, and they sold out TakeOver Dallas in less than 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah,
I will find a way. Don't worry.
They sold like 9,000 tickets or 8,000 tickets in 15 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
The Chicago one was 2,000 tickets in a minute.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
They've got some kind of lightning in the bottle with that. You know, when WWE comes to Calgary for Raw or SmackDown tapings, they take over the Saddle Dome here in Calgary, which is, the big indoor sports arena where the NHL hockey team plays. I did notice with the announcement of the Road to WrestleMania tour that they're actually moving WWE into what's called the Stampede Corral, which was the, before the Saddle Dome was built here in Calgary, that was the all-purpose multi-use sports facility here in Calgary. And it holds like one-third the crowd that the Saddle Dome does. And this is the first time in a long time WWE coming to Calgary is not in the big arena. Now, the only reason I bring this up is I am just really, really hoping and praying NXT comes to Calgary. And if that is the case with the product that they present, I could see them starting out at the Corral and then having to move it to the Saddle Dome just because the ticket sale demand would be so high. And if that's the case, I'm getting front row tickets, and I'll sit there and I'll flip Mace off and point and go, ha ha. Just to get even with you.
Sweet.
The next special NXT tapings will be Royal Rumble weekend. They're doing. Nope. They're taping television in a bigger building in Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed about this past NXT takeover is like they actually the size of the arena was a proper size arena and everything. It's not like Full Sail or anything else like that. It goes to show, NXT can draw a full house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, hey, here's NXT. It sold out and Raw... Oh, look, they're taping up the upper decks.
Well, to be fair, Raw tries to sell more tickets than NXT does. But if you think about it, NXT is selling out these buildings, right? What's the one thing TNA has never really been able to do anywhere except for in the UK, and I was only there the first couple of years?
Travel.
Sell out buildings.
Same thing.
Like, TNA has had Spike TV in 90 million homes. WWE Network is not in that many homes, and NXT sells out.
Just impressive as hell. Yeah, so before we wrap it up and move on to the Slammies, Omega, do you have any final thing to say? I just want to make sure I don't get yelled at.
I wish... God. It's so easy to say, I wish every show was as good as that, but at the same time, I think that's what makes NXT feel so special. Like, if I got it, you know, it's... If I got it every week, it's like, you know, how many weeks in a row can you eat a filet mignon?
Good question. I'd like to find out. I'm just reading what Mace posted. Does this mean we're going to another break, Mr. Producer?
This would be our second and final break of the evening.
There you go, everybody. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night on Raw, I guess, is the Slammies. But tonight, because Mace isn't going to pay any attention to it, we're going to see if we how he does with trying to pick the winners, along with me and the guy who never gets anything wrong, Omega, when it comes to picking these things. Cause, like,
oh, sure.
You're good at it. I'm just, like, giving you a compliment for it. Anyway, don't go anywhere.
Wait,
That's
2 weeks in a row you're complimenting him. Something's weird.
Well, this week I'm making up for...
Blame it on Christmas.
Yeah, no, this week I'm making up for skipping over him twice already tonight in one webcast. Everybody, listen to WTR Sunday night. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere!
Ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will...
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my social media alerted me of 12 straight days of great weather in Florida and 11 drunk I am from Tyler, 10 pornos downloading, 9 Amy's Venus sucking, 8 cheating wives, 7 tweets I'll never read, 6 false stories, 5 RKOs, 4 frantic complaining, 3 Bible thumpers, 3
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's that time once again to spread some holiday cheer and jingle all the rack.
Ho, ho, ho!
Our Christmas special is closing in, and we are looking for questions from all of you for our favorite Ask the Rack.
Have you been naughty or nice?
Whether it's holiday-related, wrestling-related, or even if you want to take a shot or two at King Kittens,
this year, you're getting a lump of coal.
Wait. No. That's just our job. You ask it, we answer it, which is why it's Ask the Rack. You can submit your questions via Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, or at Rack Radio Show. Or you can email them to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. Deadline for questions is December 22nd. Don't forget, December 22nd. Join us for Jingle All the Rack this Christmas right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Happy birthday!
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman, it's a fairy tale they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If it's one thing that we've heard tonight with Rock's musical choices, is thank God for the internet, because I go into a mall these days, I don't hear these songs anymore.
Traditional
old school Christmas songs. You know, you don't see the claymation Frosty the Snowman on television down here in Australia anymore.
Well, that's anything
pre-2000 no longer exists because it's too racially insensitive or, you know, some shit like that. You don't hear the Christmas songs in the malls because, oh my God, you know, it's too Christian. It must include everybody, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, like, thank God for the internet where you can just grab these things and play them yourself at your own leisure.
Well, you know, some people know how old I already am by now, and I still watch all of those, call it claymation or stop motion.
The Rankin Bass.
What?
Rankin Bass. It's the company who made it.
Ah, okay. You threw me for a loop there. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, Rankin Bass. But Rudolph and Frosty, but you have some of the ones that are a little bit more obscure, especially nowadays. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Do you remember ever seeing that one?
Yeah, the origin of Santa Claus. Yeah. The more obscure, again, in like Jack Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Dot, dot, dot. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, no, I still watch those.
It's like, this is why, again, you know, thank God for the internet and its less than legal means of acquiring things, because I now have a folder on my computer that contains things like, you know, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, The Year Without Santa Claus, The Frosty the Snowman, both Charlie Brown specials, Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer, Garfield Christmas Special, A Christmas Story, you know, the It's a Wonderful Life, the original Miracle on... Not that goddamn remake.
The one with Natalie Wood as a kid.
Was that the 94 one, or was that the 1947 one?
No, the original one is the one where Natalie Wood was the little girl.
Yeah, that's the one I've got, the one in black and white.
Yeah. Natalie Wood, who grew up to be a real hottie and then died off a boat with Robert Wagner. But...
Oh, isn't that just a cheery thing you want
to
hear?
Merry Christmas!
There you go. I have to bring shit down.
You do. To change the subject really quickly, I mentioned earlier about the Miss Universe pageant, right? Steve Harvey went on Twitter and apologized. He spelled Columbia wrong and Philippines.
he can't get anything right.
Steve Harvey's a bit of an idiot, isn't he?
A little bit tonight.
So who's going to be the new host on the Family Feud?
Oh, God, no. Keep him in. That's where his mistakes actually become funny.
Saw someone tweet out something to the effect of, we surveyed 100 people on what your most embarrassing moment is, survey says. Poor, poor Steve Harvey. Now, to
tie... He's still making that hanging with Mr. Cooper bucks, though.
Yeah, yeah. To tie this all in, do you think we're going to get one of the this moment tomorrow night on Raw during the Slammies? Hey, you won! No, you didn't.
I don't know if we'll get one of those. We might get somebody doing a preemptive and then get told.
Heath Slater or R-Truth are going to come out thinking they've won something they weren't even nominated for. One or the other will do it.
Heath Slater, where the hell has he been lately?
On YouTube saying...
Yeah, playing video games on YouTube.
Playing video games on YouTube and did a video on YouTube saying, vote for me. Kind of, maybe. I don't know. I'd be entertaining.
There you go. Well, something's going to go down tomorrow night for the Slammies. But let's run through this as super quick as we can. Just throw out a name who you think is going to win Superstar of the Year, Omega.
Bailey.
Okay, Mace.
If they're letting the internet vote.
Bailey.
Yeah, if this was some sort of legitimate actual vote, then yeah, I would have gone with like Bailey or Finn Balor or anybody on NXT, because you know that's the shit that's popular. But we'll probably get something like Seth Rollins.
Here's a little thing. Apparently, Damian Sandow is doing very very well in the voting. So if the internet has his way, Damian Sandow could win Superstar of the Year.
Which he won't.
He won't, but the internet's trying.
And, of course, you've got me throwing a wrench into the works saying that they're going to pick Roman Reigns.
He won it last year, so it makes sense.
There you go.
Oh, no, does he become the next Owen Hart, the two-time Slammy winner?
He would need the person... No.
He'd need personality, charisma, and a cult following.
I couldn't finish that.
You were choking on that. It was like Fonzie trying to say the word wrong.
I can't say Roman Reigns' personality. I just
thank you, JBL, for a reference. Everyone is too young to get.
Yeah.
Hey,
some people still remember the Fonz. He's 70 years old. He's not having a hard time saying wrong. He's having a stroke.
I know, Tim. Do you have any Petticoat Junction references for us?
You know, you just walked right over Mace getting my my reference. So there you go. Okay, Rivalry of the Year. Now, this one, you've got nominees, guys. Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. John Cena versus Rusev. Team Bella versus Team Bad versus PCB. Or Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. Mace, pick one.
It's obvious. Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. If this is anything else, may Brock Lesnar come out and F5 whoever wins it and takes it anyway.
That would be awesome. Omega?
That might be bad if the Divas feud wins that.
No.
He just F5s the Bella Twins, which I wouldn't be opposed to.
The censors might nowadays.
It's going to be Taker and Lesnar, though I will laugh my ass off if it is Seth versus Orton and neither one can attend because they're in the hospital.
Yeah. Kevin Owens made a good point. Why isn't Owens versus Cena nominated?
Because shut up, Owens, and have another pork pie.
Now, there are two places that Owens doesn't appear on the list, on this list, and this is one of them, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He belongs in the rivalry with John Cena. I don't see why not. Omega, did you pick?
Yeah. Brock and Taker.
Okay. Because I heard you talk about the Divas, and then I drifted off. Even talking about the Divas just gets me uninterested. Yeah, I gotta agree. I can see Taker versus Lesnar, suplex city bitch. But John Cena versus Rusev, watch them come in second. Because that was not bad. That was not a bad program those two had going on against each other. Really.
No, it wasn't. But the unfortunate thing is it's going up against Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
And it's a fan vote, so, you know.
Now, next up is for the WWE Network Show of the Year. Again, like all of these from now on have nominees that you can vote for. We've got Breaking Ground, Table for Three, The Stone Cold Podcast, WWE 24, and Swerved. Omega?
Who cares?
Just not into any of these things?
God, well, honestly, Table for Three is really good.
Mm-hmm. This is like the hardest category of them all because they actually have some decent shows on the network.
Yes, if they, well, it's that, and there's no numbers, and there's no chatter.
Right.
So it's really hard to gauge which ones, especially if you're leaving it to Twitter vote, which would actually win here.
If it's Twitter vote, it's probably the Austin Podcast.
Yeah.
Or Breaking Ground, because that's the most talked about one on Twitter right now.
Now, how
What are you cleaning, Omega?
I'm trying to get this, I'm trying to get this, like, sticker residue off of this new storage tub thing I got.
Spray it with Windex.
That's all I'm hearing. I'm hearing.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm getting frustrated over here.
That's why you were annoyed. Okay.
No. Don't ask about that.
Omega, calm down. Calm down.
I didn't ask. I just assumed. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I apologize. I take it back. Reel it in. Here we go.
I turned into Asuka over that.
Okay. Now, my question is, how new is Table for Three?
It's been around a few months.
Okay. Breaking Ground?
That started right before Survivor Series, a little bit before that. Hell in a Cell, maybe.
Okay. WWE 24.
All year they don't it's not an every week program, it's random specials. They did one on Booker T and Roman Reigns and
Are they Divas. Still even doing Swerved?
No, that had like a 10 episode run and was apparently, speaking of ratings, that was one of the more popular shows on the network.
Which I'm really surprised because all it was a ripoff of Punk'd.
By the creators of Punk'd.
By the creators of Punk'd. Yeah. There you
or
go.
Jackass, I think it was.
You know, I would say that Stone Cold Podcast is probably going to wind up with the most votes.
Since it's a fan
vote? Yeah, it's going to.
Mace?
Yeah, this one's going to be the Stone Cold Podcast.
And I don't have a problem with that. Does that mean that Stone Cold
will hurt
tomorrow night to accept the Slammy?
No,
you do? Why do you do?
I would like Table for Three to win because that's actually, I found that more entertaining.
Yeah?
Because it's a more casual atmosphere. And you would start, and you actually learn some really good things. The Austin podcasts, the one-on-one format, yeah, we've seen it a million times.
Oh, yeah,
the
only Austin
three stuff has some like really good road stories, some really good history to it, and hearing three guys go back and forth, kind of batting the ball around between each other, is way more interesting than the back and forth.
My favorite part of Table for Three was the one with Neville, where they bring him a whole plate of food, and he's just sitting there eating his apple.
Yeah,
the entire time. Ignoring the food, eating the apple.
Honestly, like, the one I tell people to watch is Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, and Ryback.
That was...
There's some really funny stories in that.
I had low expectations for it, and that one was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, you guys
more of a fan of the very first one with Piper. Piper, Mean Gene, and...
Yeah, you get some really old road stories in that one.
Yeah, but the thing is, they sit there and they keep saying how cheap Mean Gene is, and I thought that was hilarious.
But I kind of like it with the newer ones, just because you don't get much from like newer superstars, because it's all on, like, all the stories like that are on lockdown, because anytime they do a press interview, it's, okay, you're here to promote the next pay-per-view event, you know, plug the network for us at the end, and don't ask anything out of character. Whereas, like, in Table for Three, it's on the network where kayfabe is. Yeah. So, there's times they call each other by real names and they don't even mean to. You can tell they're just sitting there bullshitting and not doing anything, like, too heavily scripted other than maybe, like, cues on what to talk about.
And what about the Three Generations of Ladies?
That was good.
With Alundra Blaze, Ivory, and Molly Holly. That was amazing.
That one was good.
Especially once they started drinking.
Yeah.
Then it just got funny.
Like, there was one with Natty, and Natty likes to talk a lot. She controlled that one. And the one I also had low expectations for was R-Truth, Curtis Axel, and The Miz. That turned out a lot better than I thought it would.
I don't think any of them are bad, really.
No, I don't think they're bad. I just
no, like all of them, like even the ones I thought were going to be like, I'm watching this one because I watched all the others, and this will just wrap it up. But they were all so good.
And you know, there's stuff on the cutting room floor where it's like,
oh my god, you know they got into stories where it's like, okay, god, I know this is the network, we can't air this.
Yeah, we got
guys. Can we keep it to one penis per story, please?
Right. I think Tim wants us to move on now.
Yeah, we like Table for Three.
That being said, like we're all enjoying Table for Three. Yet we all know because it's a majority vote, and the majority is easily manipulated. So Stone Cold wins this one. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say you guys basically answered a question I was going to ask. What's Table for Three? Because I haven't seen it. Now that you told me, I gotta start watching.
Go watch it. Yeah.
It sounds like something I'd enjoy.
Get your hands on it, hook or by crook. Just go watch.
Yeah, I will get get to that ASAP. Up next is the double cross of the year. Again, nominations. Damian Mizdow eliminates The Miz from the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. Stardust turning on Goldust. Paige attacking Charlotte and Becky. Randy Orton turning on Seth Rollins and Jon Stewart costing John Cena the U.S. title at SummerSlam. And there are two that I'll pick. One just because it was awesome, and that was Mizdow eliminating Miz, but, call that honorable mention. The one I got to pick would be Jon Stewart costing Cena the U.S. title. Omega?
In my head, those are the only two that were, like, really... really strong backstabs. One because you didn't expect that out of Jon Stewart, and the other because, well, scratch that, I did, because that one I fucking called why he did that.
Mizdow doing Miz?
No.
Costing Jon
Stewart. No, that was Jon Stewart. I'm talking about Jon Stewart here. That's why I talked about Jon Stewart.
Well, I got Alzheimer's. Leave me alone.
He finally admits it.
About time.
I'm using it as an excuse. Carry on.
I the other one is, like you say, it's Mizdow and Miz. But I would vote that one if Mizdow has any chance, or back to the artist formerly known as Mizdow. If Damien's got any chance of winning, it's that category because there was so much build to that. The crowd was so behind him. That gimmick was so over when it did not deserve to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they teased that break for so long. They finally pull the trigger at the Memorial Battle Royal. Crowd explodes.
Yep.
Dumbest thing they did was have Big Show win that match.
Yeah.
They could have made a star of Mizdow for life on that one.
Potential.
Yeah, because, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal really makes superstars. Hey, Cesaro.
Shh, we're talking about that in 10 minutes.
God, even Big Show's gone to shit since winning that.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Mace?
I'm the same here. Like, I would love to see Mizdow eliminates The Miz from the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania be the one that wins. Only because we know, I could already see the awards acceptance coming out as, Sandow comes out to accept the award and The Miz comes out and takes it off him anyway because, you were my stunt double. So technically, I win the award. hey, we could turn that into a feud that we finally get that could be actually decent. But, yeah, Jon Stewart cost John Cena because, John Cena's got to win something, I suppose.
Yeah, but why don't they just bring out Jon Stewart and let him...
I figure they're going to bring Jon Stewart out and it's a slammy, so they'll probably fly him in. He's not doing anything now.
He's got some kind of a deal with HBO where he creates TV shows or something.
Maybe.
What I read?
Okay. I didn't hear that, but okay.
Anyway, whatever. Alright, so there you go. What about your surprise return of the year?
They have the wrong surprise return on here for the Dudleys.
For the Dudleys, they returned to WWE on Raw back in August 24th. That was a one-off.
No, that was the return.
Oh, the okay.
But I'm saying the bigger surprise for a Dudley was Bubba the Rumble.
Yeah, that's
Rumble
true.
Last year, yeah. But you also have Chris
Jericho.
Yeah,
Jerker, but then, hold on. Surprise returns at the Rumble are pretty common, though.
Oh, I understand that. But I'm just saying how the two, if you're picking a Dudley moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I'm right with you. Yeah, if you're picking a Dudley moment, yes, that's the one you go with. But
yes, that, yeah.
It's the difference between Bubba and, hey, it's the goddamn Dudleys. There's a bit of a difference, so, yeah.
So, yeah, judges rule you are mistaken and incorrect. Rock and Mace is right, so there.
So we're off the clip now. You're saying Mace was, you know what?
Yeah, whatever. Chris Jericho joining forces with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Was that surprising? The Dudley Boys return that we just spent a few minutes talking about, and Rock was wrong. Sting returns, posing as Seth Rollins' statue, and attacks the architect. Alberto Del Rito, Doritos, I'm hungry. Alberto Del Rio and Zeb Coulter returning to the WWE at Hell in a Cell. Demon Kane returning to prevent Sheamus from cashing in his Money in the Bank contract and instead attack Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. Which one of those are you going to pick? Because there's a couple on there you could go, Mace.
Yeah, like, I was looking at it, and originally I went with the Sting return, but to be honest, that would have been what you should have done last year. I'd say, if anything, I'd probably go with the Del Rio return, because that was one that nobody saw coming at all, ever.
Even though we should have, because they were rumored.
We should have, yes.
Like, they rumored it for 2 weeks. We should have known it was coming.
And we should have, but we were still fucking shocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, like, the one thing I noticed that is not on this entire thing, which really needs to be, would be like a surprise moment of the year. Because they need to acknowledge that cash in by Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
You mean like the oh my god moment?
Yes.
That's going to be decided during Raw on the app.
Fuck.
There are still more, like, we have a list here. There's still more that are going to be decided during Raw on the app.
Ugh.
So there's going to be, yeah, so. Yeah. Continue on your list. I'm going to find out what's actually going to be on the app.
Well, you know, for the list with the surprise return, I got the Dudley Boys as a very, very strong second. Only to Alberto Del Rio, because like you said, you know, they spoil it for 2 weeks, and we should have seen it coming, but I didn't see it coming, Omega.
No, especially not with Zeb coming out of all people to reintroduce him. Mm-hmm.
So would that be your pick as well?
God, that is really close with the Dudleys.
Yep. I popped when their music hit and they came up.
Jesus Christ. You know what? Fuck it, I'll go Dudleys.
Okay. Fair enough.
Before you move on, Tim, the ones you can vote on exclusively on the WWE app during the show, Match of the Year, Diva of the Year, Breakout Star of the Year, LOL Moment of the Year, Extreme Moment of the Year, This Is Awesome Moment of the Year, the OMG Shocking Moment of the Year, and the Hero in All of Us Award.
Okay, now this next one is super easy. It's the Tag Team of the Year, Mace. I'm not even going to give you a list. Go ahead.
Lucha Dragons. Do I need to tell you?
It's Lucha
just
Dragons.
Do it. Shut up, Rock. Let them do it.
It's going to be the New Day.
Omega.
If they don't win, it's a shame.
That's his answer. He doesn't even have to say it. It's New Day. Sucks. Yeah. They're going to get Tag Team of the Year. That's all there is to it. I mean, the rest
no,
of
no,
them?
No. They're going to hand it over to the fucking Lucha Dragons. Yeah.
If anyone can replicate Owen Hart, it will be the New Day with their slammies. Just
oh, no. God, yes. That would be awesome.
Nobody will replicate Owen Hart.
You know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be two of them wearing the tag team championships, and whoever the third man out is going to be holding those slammies up the whole time.
Yeah.
For the next year.
Poor Kid and Cesaro, by the way. They haven't got a fucking chance in hell.
If they had both gotten major injuries, then maybe. This is another one where we could have a winner where no one is physically capable of showing up.
Yeah.
No kidding.
God, man, this year.
Seriously, this is up for a slammer roar.
How about this for like surprise return of the year? Dr. Youngblood's shoulder injury repair. He ran roughshod over this year.
A new category for this year only: injured superstar of the year.
You have many nominees for that one.
Oh no, no, not injured superstar, injury of the year.
Randy Orton wins.
Oh yeah, Orton jumping to a trash bag, that wins. There's your LOL moment of the year if we could ever have a fucking ride it.
Definitely, seriously campaign for this. But seriously, this is up for a Slammy Award. It's the hashtag of the year, guys. God.
I'm sorry, I'm still picturing someone bringing out a hefty bag to accept a Slammy.
There was
what would be even movie. Better, it's Randy Orton bringing out a hefty bag to accept a Slammy.
Back in the 70s, Disney did a series of movies with Kurt Russell when he was a teenager. And one of them was this liquid stuff you drank and it made you super strong and stuff like that. Who knew that they were talking steroids all the way back then? Anyway, one part of this movie, this guy was supposed to have drunk the magic serum, but it was it got switched for a fake thing. And he's out there feeling all good and all ready to do the deadlifting. And he goes and he grabs the barbell and he goes to lift up and he stands up straight, but the barbell stays on the floor, and then the camera shows him from head to toe and his arms have elongated, and that right there, Randy Orton, arms pulled out of the sockets.
There's about 70 seconds I will never get back.
So you say, oh my god, there's a hashtag of the year award.
Seriously, there's a hashtag of the year award.
Okay, read off the nominees.
God damn, anyway.
Read off the nominees.
Here's your hashtag candidates. Give Divas a Chance, Save the Tables, Axelmania, RKO Out of Nowhere, and Suplex City.
All right, before you ask them their opinions, RKO Out of Nowhere won last year's Hashtag of the Year award, which also had Occupy Raw as a hashtag, Moscow Moose Knuckle, Eat Sleep Suplex Repeat, and 999 as the hashtags nominees last year.
Suplex City, bitch.
No bitch, it's just Suplex City.
I don't care. I'm just saying Suplex City, comma, bitch. I bet you Suplex City wins. That's what I'm betting. Go ahead, Mason.
I would say that if it wasn't for the fact that Suplex City is up for a different award later on.
Is it?
So I'm going to give this one to Save the Tables.
I like that one.
It's going to give Divas a Chance.
Poor Axelmania.
Going back to YouTube making videos.
Not exactly running wild. What do you figure, Omega?
No, I think this is where the Divas actually get a win. I really don't see. No. Okay. Something just popped in my head. There's no Diva of the Year, is there?
Yes, there is.
Is there?
It's going to be
again. Voted. It's on the app.
It's on the app.
Oh, more on Jesus ice. Christ!
Sasha is nominated for it. By the way. Everyone vote Sasha on the app tomorrow.
It's good, you know. If it is an app vote, it might be Sasha just on. Everyone remembers her from NXT. You know, she had two match of the year candidates.
She did. That more than two. She's like four.
Jeez. Yeah, but for hashtag, yeah, I'll give it. I would thank the Divas.
Okay.
That hashtag was all over the place.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow night, kids. Okay, celebrity moment of the year. We just got a couple more of these things to breeze through here. Celebrity moment of the year, you got Stephen Amell diving onto Stardust. I'm sure everybody remembers that. The entire cast of Entourage introducing Zack Ryder. Kevin Owens power bombing Machine Gun Kelly off the stage.
We all love that.
Because I hate Machine Gun Kelly.
Because it was awesome.
Jon Stewart getting involved in John Cena's match at SummerSlam. Or Wayne Rooney slapping King Barrett on Raw. Who would you pick, Omega?
See, this is where I would almost say Jon Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Like, if he's got a chance to win, I would think it'd be for this one.
Okay.
But Stephen Amell impressed the hell out of everyone. Like, he didn't just show up for one night just to do a spot and then leave. You know, we actually got some storyline. We actually got some build-up to that. And...
Mm-hmm.
Dude didn't do too bad. Yeah, I would actually pick that.
Sounds like a deal to me. I thought you already did.
Yeah. Reconfirming.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I too would be going with Stephen Amell.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make it unanimous. Absolutely. The guy looked like he belonged. Kind of.
He's excited to be nominated for a Slammy.
Is he? Did he tweet?
He's been, there's headlines with his name in about it, so yeah. He must have.
There you go. So yeah. Yeah, I just see Jon Stewart winning the other one instead of this one. So I don't know. Hard to tell what fans like anymore. Tell me you didn't
Bailey
just
and New Day.
This. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Like, super positive people are in style.
Can't wait for Sami Zayn to be back.
Yay, Sami Zayn.
Because he's positive and people like him.
Mm-hmm. So tell me you didn't just say that. That's on the list as a moment of the year. Dean Ambrose calling Seth Rollins Justin Bieber. Seth Rollins calls Johnny Manziel Johnny Idiot Face. Brock Lesnar coins Suplex City Bitch at WrestleMania. Cleaned up and the word bitch dropped off because, you know, it's PG. Seth Rollins disses Kane while celebrating the Authority's WrestleMania accomplishments. Or Paige spoiling Charlotte's Divas Champion celebration.
Thank God it's not the other moment.
What other moment?
Where she talked about Reed Flair.
Oh.
That day, tell me she did not just say that.
Yeah, that's
whoever
God.
That's a don't tell the lawyers she said that moment of the year.
Whoever wins this, can we set them on fire for saying it?
Except Brock Lesnar.
No, I think that just pissed him off.
I found Dean Ambrose calling Seth Rollins Justin Bieber to be quite funny.
Johnny Idiot Face. Really?
That really? Was funny.
No, the way Omega said it was funny. The way that happened on Raw, not so much.
It's going to be Suplex City.
Mace, what do you figure, Trigger?
Yeah, Suplex City.
I don't have a problem with picking Suplex City. So if that wins, then I don't have a problem with it. But it'd be funny if Justin Bieber won.
No. If Johnny Idiot Face wins, then... You know,
yeah.
Just no.
Funny in a sad way. And the final one we have on our list tonight here, guys. This is the one where Kevin Owens wasn't included. The other one that I think he should have been included in. And it's the best John Cena U.S. Open challenge match. And you got him facing Cesaro, Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, Dean Ambrose, or Neville, Mace.
Oh, Owens never fought in an open challenge match, though.
Wasn't it? I thought it was.
No,
remember, his whole thing was he didn't need the open challenge until he lost to Cena. And then all of a sudden he won the U.S. title.
You want to talk about one that's really hard to decide. This is it. And I never thought I'd be saying that about a series of John Cena matches.
Yeah, because these were all good.
Yeah. I seriously have no idea which one I pick. Like, the top two in my head right now are Cesaro and Sami Zayn.
Same here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't pick one over the other.
I can't. I really can't pick either one over the other.
It's so difficult because he had such incredible matches with Cesaro, but I think us, like we the smart marks of the world, would give Zayn's match more credit because not only was it really really good, he did it with a torn shoulder the whole match.
So basically, you're in the same boat as Mace, aren't you, Omega? You can't decide between those two.
I think I'm letting in a little bit of bias by saying, Sami Zayn, just because I know, like, he was injured. He injured himself just before the match.
Yeah. Didn't he hurt himself as he was, coming out and throwing his arms in the air, walking to the ring?
Mm-hmm.
That's when it happened, wasn't it?
It wasn't the walk to the ring. It was when he was standing up on the ring steps and doing his, really fast, arms up, get the crowd pumped thing.
I think that's what Tim meant. It was the entrance.
Yep. Yeah, oh yeah, it was the entrance.
Yeah. Well, that is what I meant.
I think I'm just going with Zayn on this one.
Okay. Well, I'm in the same boat as Mace. It's a toss up between Cesaro and Sami Zayn, and I can't pick one over the other.
Canadian's involved.
For me personally, Sami Zayn, because we know what he was fighting through, and still we still got a pay-per-view quality match. I see the crowd going, leaning towards Cesaro. Because, like, absolutely fantastic. Now, this particular one that's on the list, Rock, do you know? That's not the one that Cesaro had a chance to win, but Kevin Owens interfered. It was the first one, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, okay, here's the thing with this. It doesn't really matter who wins, because they were all great matches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the question is, who accepts it? Cena or his opponent?
His opponent, because I don't think John Cena's there.
He's not supposed to be back with them till Tribute to the Troops or Boxing Day, one of the two.
See, this would be a really cool situation for him to give the Slammy Award.
Yeah, it would be.
Actually, yeah.
Owens attacked after the match.
Okay, so that was the one that Owens attacked after, not during.
Right.
Okay. So it was the first of the two matches. You see, both of those matches were so off the hook. I just thought that the second match actually eclipsed the first one. But yeah, as far as who wins, I couldn't tell you. But I agree with what you guys are saying. John Cena should present the Slammy to whichever opponent winds up winning it. But that's what we have. All the rest will be on the app tomorrow live during Raw as it airs. So,
by the way, Kane Kiddens, you really can't say how about them Eagles when your Cowboys lost last night. Just saying.
Hey, how about them Cowboys, Mace?
Who gives a fuck about them? Go Seahawks!
How about those Eagles, Mace?
Who gives a fuck about them? Go Seahawks!
Hey,
hey, Omega, how about them sports?
Fuck them! Go Art!
Go Art.
Never a disappointment when you throw it to him that way.
I we can't top that, so just...
Let's just go to the old time.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Apparently the first matchup is Art or sports?
Go Seahawks.
First one up is Cesaro wins Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, or Linda McMahon gets out of her wheelchair at WrestleMania 17. Omega.
Going Cesaro. Because Linda getting out of that chair, that whole storyline was really uncomfortable. And in any world outside of WWE, extraordinarily illegal. And the way that was eventually set up is just like, it's so like obvious that's exactly what they were leading up to. That was what was going to happen. It wasn't that big of a surprise when it actually happened. Cesaro winning the Battle Royal for as little as it did, and for as little as that Rumble does for anybody involved, yeah, that was just a tremendous showing by him all around. Like, you remember he had some really good moments in that match before deadlifting the Big Show. Okay, well, Big Show helps, but still, that's just raw power, being able to dump him over the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible. Like, that was like genuine WrestleMania moment stuff, not like we set a table on fire so Mick can go through it. That was like legitimate surprise and amazement.
All right, Mace.
Yeah, I too am going with Cesaro wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It was a surprise to see that they didn't go with the Big Show straight out the gate. And, you know, sure, it did absolutely jack shit for Cesaro, but let's face it, it takes more effort to dump a guy like the Big Show out of the ring than it does for an old lady to get out of a wheelchair when she didn't really need it.
Unanimous, and I can't really add anything that hasn't already been said.
All right, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon in the ladder match of WrestleMania 10, or Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant? Mace.
I'm going to go with the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match. It was the first ladder match out there, and it was an extremely athletic contest and was full of good drama. Andre the Giant tripping over something and taking a flip in the middle of WrestleMania 3 ring Not so impressive.
Omega.
Ignoring the fact that he had been body slammed before, for the legacy and history it creates, and let's be honest, it's hilarious listening to how much Andre the Giant weighed this time.
Man, brother, he was 2,000 pounds when I slammed him onto the mat, brother.
You never hear Razor talking about how tall the ladder was getting.
Mm-mm. That 30-foot ladder, no. No, you don't hear that.
No.
No.
That 40-foot ladder a year later. Yeah.
Of course, he's also drunk at the time, so you never know.
You never know.
But, that genesis of the WWE ladder match, okay, really cool, really good match, mm-hmm. Classic. You know, Hogan slamming Andre is the WrestleMania moment. I mean, it was the build-up, that was the kind of thing where it was about the build-up to it. You know, the teases throughout the match for that spot, and the fact that you had a WWF crowd at the time convinced that it was impossible, because, of course, they don't have the internet, and, you know, they didn't know that Hogan had done it once already, but at the time, and still, yeah, it's kind of legendary.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, just to correct Mace, the ladder match was not the...
Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, 1992, yada, yada, yada.
No, and not even Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels in 1992. It was even before that. Syndicated in several countries all over the world.
Stampede Wrestling invented
was
the
first
ladder
one
match
to do it. Stampede Wrestling invented the ladder match. So Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant, that was the iconic thing. It was different time, different era. It was like, you know, Omega said, a whole bunch of shit wasn't around back then. People were more into it. It was more believable. People believed in it more. It was still real to them, damn it. And just the whole Andre Hogan feud, the whole bit, the build-up to that match. Will he body slam him? Can he body slam him? Everything leading up to that moment. It was just the entire pay-per-view was sold around that one moment. Can he or can't he? And the entire thing was built up around that one thing. That's what wins.
Okay. I give Mace props for trying to think outside the box, like other two people on this call.
Thank you.
This is the moment. Can't go with something different. Anyway, Ronda Rousey confronts Stephanie. First, Daniel Bryan wins twice in one night, and Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair, and The Rock finally beats Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 19. Next time on The All-Time Greatest.
Damn, that's going to be... Well, let's do quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
It is the holiday season, so Mace, give Omega a gift. Really? I'm just sitting here waiting. I'm like,
oh my god. He doesn't want to give me anything.
That's it. He's not. Sorry, Omega. You get nothing for Christmas. You're left out.
Wait a minute. Who is supposed to give him a gift?
Mace is supposed to give Omega a gift.
What happened to Mace?
He doesn't.
Sorry.
You abandoned me!
Motherfucker, you're getting gifts. You know what's coming. I am actually sending Omega actual gifts.
Okay.
It might not arrive at Christmas, but he's getting actual gifts.
But if you had to get him a gift that isn't something you actually bought him, what would you get him?
Oh, that's the thing. If what I have got him is the exact same thing I would have got him with this question. I just
can't
say.
Can't answer the question.
Okay. Okay, fine. Sorry, Omega, you get jack shit. Tim, get Mace a gift.
Airfare and $3,000 cash.
Is this U.S. dollars, Australian currency, or Canadian dollar?
Well, that depends on where we fly him.
Okay. Omega, I guess you gotta give Mace a gift.
John, what do you... You know, since I've already gotten him one, I guess to go with it, I'd have to get him an autograph from Mark Hamill.
There you go.
That works.
Mace, give Tim a gift.
Let's see. What would I give Tim as a gift? I'd give him a better job as a gift. Because, you know, trying to sell cards, so I give him a better gift where he can make some more money.
Works for me. A different job, and I make more money? That's two presents in one! You see, I'm appreciative of being given things.
Alright, Tim, give Omega a gift.
That Lego thing coming out next year, the Ghostbusters one that he was talking about, that's going to be really expensive.
And Omega, give Tim a gift.
Adobe Premiere.
Fucker.
Trying to help you out.
Oh, I knew that was a loaded question. I'll do a quick answer here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I do believe that we're done the show.
We are done. Wrap us up, Tim.
Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the Post Show, show up, and we'll see if Rock can beat his speed record for reviewing Raw in 20 minutes or less.
Yes, the Raw Post Show.
Oh, wait, is Lindsay going to be joining you?
Yes.
Okay, well, then maybe not.
Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Because when you've got Lindsay with you, you don't talk as fast, so things take longer.
Yes.
Thursday night, the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack won't be live because it's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve, but join us for the Jingle All The Rack Christmas special where we're playing Ask The Rack. Give us your questions. Send them to media@wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. So give us your questions. We'll answer them on the show. Talk NXT. It's The Racks. Jingle All The Rack Christmas special, available Thursday on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. Yeah, and in the Commonwealth countries like Canada and Australia, December 26th is called Boxing Day. And that's the day where we put on the gloves and we punch each other because we didn't get the gifts we wanted. And that's why we all call it collectively Boxing Day. Isn't that right, Mace?
Well, No. Historically, it's completely different, but you're very close. We don't go around beating each other up unless you're at the local malls trying to get the Boxing Day sales.
That's
and that
right.
Motherfucker gets in front of you and gets that Lego set that you've been after since before Christmas.
And
it's now like 50%
one.
Off. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Warning to anybody who's in front of me at any Boxing Day sale, I have no problem sending you to Suplex City to get what I want.
So look out, bitch. Yeah, I don't think they call it anything in the United States except December 26th. So,
hell.
When that happens, just tune in midnight-ish and catch another edition of CB Radio.
Yeah, we'll count down to the new year. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow show on Twitter at CB Radio Live, Facebook.com/CB Radio Live, and the website is CBRadioLive.com. And when a celebrity dies, hashtag blame Rob.
I hope that hashtag doesn't get a goddamn workout next year like it did this year.
Let's hope not. Yeah, that being said, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday night at our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Check out the Facebook pages. You got one group, one like page. Hit them both up.
Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on the Twitters at Flames Forums. Follow me on the Twitters at Man Kitchen TV.
Can you
check me out and follow me on Facebook at Facebook.com/MenChefs.
Can you say me any louder?
Me! It's all about me!
It
but it's not
is.
All about me, because Mace is on Twitter.
Yes, this would be the point where I tell everybody that I am on Twitter at the Mace Thing. I'm also doing video game related bits and pieces over at theouterhaven.net and also youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage. And I must say congratulations to Disney Studios, as Star Wars Episode 7 has officially had a record-breaking weekend with $517 million made worldwide.
I guess now we're guaranteed another sequel to this movie, then.
There's always been two more planned, Tim.
I know that. That was.
But I believe that the American domestic weekend figures was somewhere around the $230 million for the opening weekend, which blew the previous record holder, Jurassic World, out of the water by about 20-odd million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
238 million over the weekend. What was the previous one?
And I like how they're saying it was 238 million 9 hours ago, and there's probably still people who bought tickets later.
Yeah. Well there's all, now they guesstimate after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and Omega.
Yeah, Jurassic World was $208 million opening weekend.
There you go. And Jurassic World was, well, yeah. It was all right.
So if you want to see why Omega's going to probably die at the end of the month, you should check him out on YouTube.
Yeah, this has been an interesting month. Because, okay, so. Just, okay, also look at all the channels out of the way. Over on Facebook, you can follow me at TJ Reviews. Over on Twitter, you can follow me at TJ Omega. TJOmega.org is the website for all the exclusive videos. And TJ Omega on YouTube, where, God help me, on top of all of the weekday content, there's a new video every weekday. And this month, there's another video every single day. Plus whatever I churn out on the weekends.
I'm 2,754 videos in a month.
I'm two-thirds of the way through.
Dude, you need a hobby.
He's got one. That's why he's making all these videos.
That was a joke, but thanks for playing.
This is my blessing. This is my curse.
There you go. Okay, we've done all the plugs and everything else like that, I suppose.
Get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, all of that stuff, too. That being said, everybody, I hope you have a great Christmas week. Enjoy the big day of present unwrapping by the tree with the eggnog and the coffee with the Baileys and cream and all that other wonderful crap that you have to put up with on, Friday. Have a great Christmas, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Alright, I'm lowering this music. King Kins goes, Omega needs a day off. Just saying.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah, who's talking?
That would be King Kins, yeah. Just saying.
Just saying. Stupid cowboy lover. WildTalkRadio.com.